Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located in Vilas, North Carolina, just a few miles outside of the town of Boone on Highway 105 South. You take Baird's Creek Road. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And I'd love to take an opportunity today to invite you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday school, 10 a.m. for all ages, Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. Then Wednesday nights at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And then on the second and fourth Sunday nights of every month, we have our Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. And so we have lots of opportunities to for you to visit with us. If you don't have a church home or if you are visiting in the area, we'd love for you to come and be with us there. And it's an honor and a privilege to be back today. Today's a special day here on the Blessings of Liberty, and we'll talk just a little bit about that. But I want to say good morning to Noah first of all. Noah, how are you today?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here. We want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those listening in here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
Noah, do you know, or you want to tell what today is as far as the radio broadcast?
Sure. Today is our third year birthday here at Blessings of Liberty.
We are 3 years old, and you know, a lot has changed in the past 3 years. When we first started the Blessings of Liberty, I had a business at that time, and the business is sort of a extension or out of that, you know, the business sponsored. But in the past few years, the church has taken over, and we've changed just a little bit, but our emphasis is the same. We have always been the Blessings of Liberty, and I started the Blessings of Liberty. I had a burden to do something on a local level concerning our nation, our country, our freedoms, teaching the great principles of this country, and that's why I got into it to begin with. You know, you cannot talk about liberty and not talk about the Bible. And so we're not getting off context to talk about our nation, our freedoms, our history, all of these things. America is a nation because of God. And the Lord is the one that has given us our liberties and our freedoms that we have. And our nation is uniquely based upon a Judeo-Christian heritage. And so 3 years ago, we started the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It was actually July the 6th, so it landed after July 4th. But I wanted to start on that week of July 4th because Blessings of Liberty, that is on the Liberty Bell, by the way, Leviticus 25 and 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And then the phrase Blessings of Liberty comes from the preamble to the Constitution, where it talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's, they were talking about their children, their children's children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, all the untold millions yet to come. That's the way that George Washington many times referred to the untold, the unborn millions. That's the way that he would phrase it, the unborn millions yet to come. Well, we're blessed to be a part of that posterity. And so our origin is based upon the Word of God that we chose, or I chose back then, to start on the week of July the 4th. And 3 years has certainly, in one sense, it's flown by, and then another sense, it is it's not. So I guess that's just how time is. But what I wanted to do today, I've been in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse number 10 talking about the Isaiah 9 and 10 judgment. I might get to that a little bit towards the end of the radio broadcast, but what I want to do today is probably take just a little break in that and pick up with that again next week. But I want to talk about the Declaration of Independence, and I want to read from the Declaration of Independence. You know, I look back in my notes of what I talked about 3 years ago on the first Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and I took time, seeing that was the week of July 4th, I took time to read the Declaration of Independence, and I thought I would like to do that today. I would like to read the Declaration of Independence. Now, July the 4th is not about hot dogs and fireworks and getting a day off and grilling out and having a picnic and going to a ball game or whatever it is that people do on July the 4th. You know, we have it as a holiday, but the reason that we celebrate July 4th is because that is the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America was signed on July the 4th, 1776. And it is the the state of Virginia in their constitution, when they talk about in the Virginia state constitution about keeping their blessings of liberty, they talk about, or that document talks about, a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles. Meaning, if we are going to continue to have the blessings of liberty, we need to continually look back and be refreshed and reminded of how we got here. How we got here. And that's what this radio broadcast has been about for 3 years now. How we got here. And so, in honor of Independence Day, July the 4th, I want to read the Declaration of Independence. Now, some of you may say, my goodness, that's boring. Well, that's probably one of the reasons why we're in such a state far away from the Declaration of Independence, because people have forgotten why we're here. The Bible even says, Psalms chapter 11 in verse number 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations of our nation, if we destroy them, well, what can we do? There's nothing we can do. So we need a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles. And so I want to read today the Declaration of Independence. I believe that every American, every visitor to this country needs to be familiar with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I've got a little pocket Constitution that I have, and I have several of them, but this one, I like it. It also has the Declaration of Independence. And in the flyleaf of that, it says, the Declaration of Independence was the promise. The Constitution was the fulfillment. The two are tied together. Now, the Declaration of Independence is we could even say it is a religious document, because it refers to God. Four times the Declaration of Independence refers to God. Now, the Constitution does not, but the amendment to the Constitution, guarantees freedom of religion. And so, let me just begin. The Declaration of Independence, I'm going to read and I'll comment a little bit along the way, but I believe we ought to do this in honor of the independence of our nation, and it ought to remind us where we come from, and it ought to inspire us that we would get back to what made our country great. The Declaration of Independence says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Now, that's the opening paragraph, and here's the reason why they were declaring their independence from England. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now notice, they believed that governments were instituted among men not to give these rights, but to secure these rights. These rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Government does not give us or grant us our life, our liberty, and should not hinder our pursuit of happiness, or if you study into that, what they were specifically referring to under that heading of pursuit of happiness was the ability and the right to obtain and have property. That makes you different from many other people in the world, the fact that you can have property, and it is your property to do with as you see fit, the pursuit of happiness. Now, government does not grant these rights, but government is there to ensure that these rights are not infringed upon. So it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. What does that mean? That means that the power of the government does not come from the government, but from the people. And that's why the Constitution starts out, "We the people." And so the people are important. The people are to be the ruler over the government, not the government over the people. You see, in the past 236 years, a lot of this has got turned around upside down, and we are in a socialistic state of affairs in the United States of America. But the power is derived from the consent of the governed, or should be. Then it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. So what they were saying there, we're trying to work within the system, but when the system is absolutely broke and works against the people, then it is the right of the people to throw off the old government and to establish a new government. And it talks about how human nature is disposed to suffer while things are sufferable. But when it gets to the point where you can't take it anymore, then it is the right of the people to throw off. And it had come to that point. They'd tried and tried and tried to get along with King George and the government of Britain. And it talks about this later on. They finally come to the place. They said, you know what? It's time. And we're going to throw off the despotism of King George. It is their right. It is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To provide this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. And so what they did here in the rest of the Declaration of Independence, they gave their reasons for separating from Great Britain. And they gave reasons, they gave facts to what King George had been doing. And so they come along and they give, I think there's 28 reasons that they give. And I'm going to read through most of them, and I'll comment on a few of them. But let me say this before I get started in the reading of these reasons why that they were going to separate from Britain. Many of these things are going on in America today. If our founding forefathers could come back, they'd shake their heads in disgust and say, "What have you allowed to happen in the United States of America? We are quickly coming to the place where we're like they were before the American Revolution, and our own government is the one that's guilty." Now, Ronald Reagan said this at his first inauguration as president of the United States of America. He said, the government does not have the answer to the problem. The government is the problem. And so let's read these facts that they submit to a candid world. He said, "He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them." And so some laws they'd passed that King George wouldn't pay any attention to. And then there were other things that he had passed that were oppressing the people. "He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures." Now, what that means, if I could just sum it up and make it real simple, he created a bureaucracy that the people couldn't get any answer from. They couldn't get anything done. King George had made it just a fatiguing process to get anything done. Does that sound like America today? Sure it does. I mean, it's easier just to give up and throw in the towel than it is to fight for what's right because of the red tape. That's what a bureaucratic state is. And tyrants use bureaucracy to wear the people down. It said he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. So when the representatives would come along and oppose the king, he would just dissolve the body and wouldn't pay any attention to him. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. We could talk about that a little while if we had time. Listen to this. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose obstructing the laws of naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. Now, what that is, they had an immigration problem. Does that sound familiar in America today? The king would not address the problem of immigration into the colonies. And so it was causing a problem. You know, we're seeing that same thing today. Immigration problems. Some things never change. And so what they'd like to do is get a lot of people in here that'll vote but won't be citizens, or that will become citizens without pledging allegiance to the United States of America. We have a lot of problems in our country today along these lines. Then it goes on. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Now, I noticed that this morning. He has obstructed the administration of justice. That makes me think of the Justice Department and Eric Holder and the Fast and Furious scandal. Do you know what our president, what our Justice Department has been involved in the past few years? Now, this is something that should be addressed. This is something that is being addressed, but the American people at large are not even aware of what they have done. The Justice Department and all this fuss with Eric Holder and the Fast and Furious, what our government did was they, through the ATF and through gun stores in this nation, caused guns to be sold that they knew was going to make it into Mexico, where innocent people would be killed by those guns that had been bought across the counter in America. Then what they were going to do, they were going to trace those guns back into America, and they were going to use that as a measure for gun control in the United States of America. They were going to say, look, these guns are crossing the border, but the government was behind the guns getting into Mexico to begin with. And there was one man that stood up and blowed the whistle on what was going on. That's what's going on with this Fast and Furious. You talk about an obstruction of justice. And so Eric Holder, you know, he's saying, oh, this is just election year politics. No, they are guilty of causing innocent people to be killed by firearms bought in the United States. They manufactured this problem, and they got caught doing it. Well, that's what tyrants do. Well, let's go on. He said he has made judges dependent on his own will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. You know, there's been this going back and forth between the Supreme Court and the appointing of judges and all these things. You think about how surprised everybody was that the Affordable so-called Health Care Act has been upheld by the Supreme Court. You talk about judges depending upon the will of the powers that be. We see that today in America. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. We could talk about the IRS. We could talk about the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. We could talk about the FDA, the EPA, and all the bureaucratic red tape of these offices that are sent out to eat out the substance of the people. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He is affected to render the military independent of and superior to the silver power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to the acts of pretended legislation. We see this in the Obama administration. We've seen this in the Bush administration. We've seen this in the Clinton administration. Our nation being subjected to the laws and the treaties of the United Nations above and ahead of what our own Constitution says. Now, Clinton and Bush years weren't as bad as the Obama years, but still we see this giving away of our sovereignty and our power to the other nations, specifically to the United Nations. I must move on. For the quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Now, you could talk right there a long time about the Affordable Health Care Act. That is a tax without our consent. It's interesting to me that at first, and I remember this when they were arguing back and forth, oh, it's not a tax, it's not a tax. Well, they pass it. Well, they send it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court comes back. He says, well, they say, well, it can go forward, but it's a tax. And so at first it's not a tax, but now it is a tax. And that's all we're going to hear about. But whatever you call it, when it boils down to it, it is a tax without our consent. Whether you want it or not, whether you can afford it or not, you're going to have to pay it, or you're going to pay the penalty. This is why our forefathers rebelled against King George and the government of Great Britain to begin with, for imposing taxes without our consent. And then it goes on, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. You could put in right there the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, which authorizes our military agencies in our government to come along and arrest United States citizens, to put them in detention without a charge, and to haul them off to somewhere like Cuba, Guantanamo Bay, and keep them indefinitely without a charge. That is what they passed to be able to do in this National Defense Authorization Act. Obama was for it. It passed in the Congress. It passed in the Senate. Mitt Romney said he would pass it. The only one that said that he wouldn't be for it was Ron Paul. Anyway, that's toward the end of the list. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. What's been the thing for the mantra for the past 4 years? Change, change. Fundamentally change America. I seen a bumper sticker the other day. One of the men in church had it on his vehicle, and I told him I liked it. It just said, change it back. Hey, that's what we need in America. Change it back. You know what? We'll not change it back except there is a spiritual, a real Bible-based revival in America. That is, I believe with all of my heart, our only hope. I am not going to be able to read all of this. I'm just going to read the last paragraph. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent. And I skip on down. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. I would encourage you parents to get a copy of the Declaration of Independence and even in churches and homes, and read the Declaration of Independence. Think for yourself, why is America America? And you'll find, I'm telling you, if our founding forefathers came back, there'd be another American Revolution started. But I'm not saying start, come out with arms. But I'm saying something serious. There needs to be a movement of freedom among the people in America, or we are going to lose our nation as we know it. You know, a lot of people are quick to say, oh, you know, we'll fight. Well, good. We ought to have some fight in us. But if you really think about it, you talk about hardship. You talk about problems in this country. The way is not with arms and fighting and all of this. The way is to have a revival that brings us back to God, that brings us back to our founding principles. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. Well, thank you for listening. Have a great Independence Day. God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church of Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.